what are you? I mean,
I'm a Taurus. Okay, what are you talking about?
I know you. Yeah, Mexican? I know you're not a Gemini, but this is the most Gemini song a Taurus has ever written.
Okay, well, I got Scorpio and Leo in my.
Really?
So revenge is real.
Vocalo Radio. Yeah, your mic's on. Vocalo Radio, Chicago's only urban alternative, 91.1 FM. We have a special guest in the studio, Omar Apollo. Hello.
Hello, hello. Thank you for having me.
You heard him riffing a little bit right there. How are you doing? You got a show tomorrow?
I got a show tomorrow in Chicago.
Love it. Okay, so you're a Midwest kid.
Mm-hmm.
Hobart, Indiana. I actually Googled it. And it looked exactly the way I thought Hobart, Indiana would look in the pictures. I'm sure you get a lot of questions, but my biggest question, you said you were doing Flocorico out there in Hobart?
No, like Purdue University and stuff. Basically, there was this dance group. I forgot what city it was, but it was a little further, closer to Chicago. And it was Ballet Folklorico. And I would go, with, my brother did it, my sister did it. And I was like, oh, I want to do it with them. And that's where I started dancing and stuff.
Oh, so it wasn't, because I was like, where did he find Flocorico classes out here in the
city? They would do them in Lake Station, which is in Hobart, which is right next to where I live. They would have them there at some like hall, and I would just go there and learn. But there's culture over there.
Okay.
The Mexicans are outside. They came down from Chicago, and they were like, it's better over here, it's cheaper.
That was my biggest question. I was like, where did he take the classes? Super jealous, by the way. A lot of people might not know that you're like a dancer. You used to take the train into Chicago. So was your life like step up?
That's what I thought it was. I like wanted to be that so bad. And I thought I was going to be a choreographer up until I was like 17.
Do you still have dreams of that? Are you like, maybe one day I'll choreograph something?
No, not at all.
No Friends music videos. You're not like, let me take the choreo on this one.
Absolutely
not. Let me get the 5, 6, 7, 8. I got it.
No, I think there's so many people that are way more better than me. So I'm just going to let that rock. It's the same way I feel about guitar. It's like a tool. I don't know. It's like I can play it and it's cool, but I can get somebody better to play it who actually, you know.
I love that you could admit that. The ego is to the side there.
Right. Yeah.
And what I love so much about like thinking about, you know, you growing up, you are, you know, Mexican American.
Mm-hmm.
I have to feel like this is the most on-brand Mexican parent thing to do, that when you told your parents you wanted to be a singer, your dad's like, well, you're not really that good.
Yeah. So, super on-brand.
Is that, were those his exact words? I was like, that is a Mexican parent.
His exact words was, you sound terrible. that was the exact word. And then
what'd you
honestly,
say?
That kind of, like... that propelled me. Okay, so what happened was is that me and my brother, I was like, hey, I was working on this cover. I forgot what the cover was. And I played it for them, my parents. I think I was had to be 16, 17 or something like that. And then my dad doesn't say anything. He looks at my brother, who's playing guitar, and was like, oh, you sound really good on guitar, and then walks away. And then I'm singing around the house. And then he's like, you look at me, he's like, you sound terrible. And I was just like, and in my head, instead of getting me down, it more propelled me into finding out what he thinks is good singing. So whenever he thought somebody was a good singer, I would pay attention. So he'd be like, we'd be watching something on the internet or on like live TV or something like that. And he'd be like, oh, they sound really good. I noticed that he really loved this part where they do like a strong vibrato, like in Mexican culture, it's like, you know, like that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have that naturally. So that's why he thought I sucked. So I started.
Oh, the baritone voices. Yeah. He was like looking for the bass.
Yeah, yeah. Like, or just in general, like that, the oscillation between two notes that like creates that sound. I didn't have it naturally. So that's why he thought I sucked. So then I like YouTubed how to get it. So I like trained and trained and trained, like was just doing it. And I finally got it and I sang in front of him. He's like, whoa, like when did you get good? I was like, well, I mean, honestly, it's just vibrato. That's what you like, you know? So then I don't know, criticism as I got older started to change because it was like, oh, like it doesn't really matter. You know, he kind of like calloused me a bit to, I guess, like anything negative.
I love that. I mean, because again, that's Mexican parents. One thing, they will not lie to you. If you do not have talent.
They're like kids. Like how kids are
the
so
honesty,
honest.
Right?
Yeah.
The transparency. Okay, I have to say, I listened to the new album, of course, God Said No. Mm-hmm. And at first I was like, we write at dawn because who hurt you? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, we're ready to write at dawn. Who hurt you? I feel like as someone who's been really hurt in the past, I could hear it. I was like, oh, someone really, really did this, you know?
Yeah.
Is it hard for you to be that honest in your music or like open up about things like heartbreak?
No, I think language is beautiful. And some of the most like beautiful pieces of writing that I've heard have been in that vein, have been in that, like, you know, that lane of vulnerability and how you speak about your feelings and honesty and openness. So no, I don't feel any type of way. I think that it's a blessing I'm able to even tap into that, like myself in that way. I feel like a lot of people, especially like that I know, they shut off when something like that, when it comes to themselves, they shut it off. And yeah, that's what I hope the music does, is kind of just open it, you know, open that channel and like get you thinking about it, whatever.
Midway through the album, I think I got, like, I felt like some emotions, like a little emotional, because I remember you saying that you used to hide pronouns in your music. You wouldn't put he or she, like you put a lot of yous and stuff. So, you know, to hide that you were gay or mm-hmm. things like that, or you said, quote unquote, you were DL, you know, that's an exact quote that you said you were DL. As I'm listening to the music, like I got a little emotional about that. When did that stop for you? Like, when did you decide to start putting the pronouns in the music?
I mean, it was rough at first. When I first dropped my music on like SoundCloud, I like deleted it. So it was out and it was doing super well, better than any of my music had done at the time when I was living in Indiana. It was getting like thousands and thousands of plays. And then I just deleted it because of everything that was happening around me. Like my personal life was like, you know, falling because of it. And in my head, I was like, you know, well, I have to stop it. Like, you know, like this isn't worth like me not, like me being alone, you know? Mm-hmm. And then I quickly realized that, like, you know, found other people who really love me and care for me. And it was tough at first for my family life and things like that, especially, I feel like you would know what I'm talking about. Yeah, it wasn't easy. And I remember the first time, there's a song I have called Stay Back that has like gay undertones. And I remember I was freaking out right before I was calling the director, like just his phone. And I was just like, bro, I'm not gonna lie, I know we spent 30 racks on this, but we're gonna have to delete it. Like, I'm not posting this. Like, cause I was so paranoid of disrupting this piece that I've had in my personal life for years and years and years and years. And I finally just kind of just let it go. I was like, oh, well, you know, if you really love me, it doesn't really matter. It's supposed to be unconditional. And it was. It just took time, a lot of time. I feel like I really kind of, not until like 2 years ago, a year ago, really, like it really set in with like everybody in my personal life. It was like, okay. But like, I think a lot of people are, you know, we're in these bubbles in LA, Chicago, New York. It's like, oh yeah, it's all cool, like, you know, be gay, da da da. But it was actually really hard for me. My reality was all, you know, fumbling. So I was like touring the world and getting crazy phone calls from cousins and hearing crazy shit about me in Indiana, like, you know, all this stuff that I was dealing with that I don't think anyone really understood at that time. Yeah, it was hard. It wasn't easy. But now it's such a blessing. I'm just fortunate to be able to even be like a queer artist and that's making and writing music in the way that I choose, and I don't feel like I need to hold anything back or stifle my writing for anybody.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
I know you see people and you're like, oh, you're so brave. Or people have like immediately just, you know, the rainbow flag on their profiles and you're like, how'd you do that? You're so brave. And sometimes it takes people. I love that. Sometimes it does take people a long time, even if people know. It could take a long time for that to be like, okay, this is who I am. Looking at the album, I have some receipts here. I want to ask you about something. Okay, one of my favorite songs, I've not hit this, is Spite. And I was like, this is everything I want to be in life. Everyone wishes they had a toxic relationship, but it's like, this is a rich toxic relationship. You know what I'm talking about? I was like,
I'm not gonna lie, it was. Like, it really was.
This is because for those that don't know, here I highlighted the lyrics I want to talk to you about right now, okay? Why you gotta ruin every night? 50K, I spend it out of spite.
And what about it?
Okay. How do you spend 50K on a spike?
I'm not gonna lie, I spent more than that at this point. I was mad.
So it is true, right? And so this is a rich, toxic relationship.
Oh yes, that's why I'm wearing $100,000 earrings and a cover.
Ooh,
and a fur coat. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's different.
You need to let people know.
It was given. Our relationship was given artisanal glass. It was given $1 million paintings.
Okay.
I'm just kidding.
No, I mean, I love this because it just seems, I know you're not, what are you? I mean, I'm
a Taurus. Okay. What are you talking about?
I know you're, yeah, Mexican? I know you're not a Gemini, but this is the most Gemini song a Taurus has ever written.
Okay, well, I got Scorpio and Leo in my.
Really?
So revenge is real.
Yeah, no, I was just like, because you're saying like, oh, I don't want anything to do with you, but I still want to take you on a date.
Right.
But I did this, and get to you. But so it was really funny to see that song. Is it that what it was? Like, it's two different things of like.
Two emotions, yeah.
I don't want to see you again, but I kind of want to take you on a date.
It's two emotions existing at the same time, yeah. A lot of emotions existing at the same time. I was a very confusing time. I definitely wasn't rooted. I was like, oh, I don't know what to do. I want to go and I want to pursue this, put energy into this and develop this into something that lasts a very long time. I don't know how long, but as long as I could, you know, but it didn't.
Do you wait a long time of the aftermath of a relationship to write a song about it?
Or? I was writing God Said No during this relationship. I was writing songs and then having conversations about my inner dialogues that night.
Okay.
Like, you know what? Because I was thinking about it today. Like,
you're like, actually, I have more to say.
Actually, like, wait.
And of course, one song that everyone's kind of talking about is Pedro.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of love this friendship. This is like probably one of my favorite friendships of 2024. To find out that you and Zaddy Pedro are besties.
It's actually my dog. We actually are really close friends. He's great.
This feature, was this recorded in the studio or it kind of sounded like a voice note? Was it meant to sound like that or?
Yeah. He'd been to the studio. He was there a few times.
I'm just imagining in my mind. So yeah, you're just singing beautiful and then Pedro's just chilling there in the studio?
Yeah. He was his like sister and like, all, you know, his family in like New York. And then I would play him stuff. I was playing him everything. And then specifically, he really loved Glow. I think I showed him that like on like iPhone, like in the street or something, like with his ear or something. I don't know. I forgot. Yeah, it was just he was there while I was kind of going through all these things and he understood what the album was about. He understood what I was feeling emotionally. So I asked him to do the voice note because I feel like he's one of the people that really understood what I was going through. So I asked him to share a story about grief and I thought he did such a wonderful job. And I had this piece of music that I made in London that I composed with Teo Holm, who did like the whole album. We had this piece of music for so long, and I loved it so much, but I wrote a song to it, but it wasn't working, and I was just like, oh. And then I had this piece of music, and I was like, I need someone to talk over it, and then he was the first person that came to mind.
How did he react when he heard it?
He was sending me notes. He was like,
fix this.
He was like, girl, take the delay off my voice right here.
He's like, I don't need that reverb. I don't need
no,
my
literally,
voice is good.
He said, I don't need the reverb. He's like, I know you're trying to be fancy. No, I'm just kidding. No, but it was cool. He's an artist. He has a great mind and he's a great writer and he's a great creative person and I'm obviously an amazing, prolific actor. So it's great.
Speaking of acting, mm-hmm. You are kind of on the scene a little bit right now.
Yeah, I'm
right?
On the side.
Yeah. Is that something you always wanted to do?
I think so. Yeah. I've always wanted to act. Yeah, I actually had been doing auditions like when I first went to LA. Nothing ever felt right. But I didn't even audition for this. Somebody DM'd me. Said, yo, Luca wants you to be in a movie. I was like, word? And then they hit my email and then we got on the phone and he was just like, I really want you for this role. Are you down? I was like, yeah.
Okay, no audition. We see you. And of course, you're talking about...
Sell one of my live performances. And based off of, I guess, my charisma there, they were like, oh, he can do the role. He can do it.
Yeah, you're talking about Luca Guadagnino.
Luca Guadagnino, yeah.
And this upcoming film, Queer. And it's premiering at the Venice Film Festival and stuff. Are you going to see it when it
I'll
premieres?
I'll be there, yeah.
Oh my gosh, how exciting for you.
Super excited.
Do you think you killed it?
I already said it.
It's a wrap.
Done. Like, come on now. I did. Honestly, it was like a great experience, and it was interesting because it's acting and it's similar to a music video. But I definitely, I mean, Daniel Craig, I was just like, let me just get in my bag. He was super cool. We had like a dope scene, and yeah, I think it's gonna be really cool.
So are we gonna see you more? We're gonna see you more on our screens?
I don't know. I mean, it's, if it times right, like, you know, I love making music. Music's first for me. But I love film. I love, love, love film. I'm constantly watching different films from different eras and directors, and, you know, I'll find a director and watch every single film, and I think that just kind of like...
But no auditions. You just want offers only.
Yeah, girl. They gotta call me. Come on, you think I'm not gonna, you know.
I know you're the baby of your family. Mm-hmm. My sister.
That's why I'm like this, by the way.
My little sister, I know you can tell spoiled. My little sister is the baby of my family. She's a huge fan. And so I was like, okay, you get one question, girl. She's like, I need to know about the Kali Uchis song. She's like, Worth the Wait.
Worth the Wait, yeah.
Yeah, she's like, it should be illegal for them to do a song together. It is so sensual, both your guys' voices. She's like, what was it like working with Callie? You guys are good friends, right?
Yeah, Callie's like my sister. She just had a baby, bless her. I haven't been able to see her much, but we talked the other day and we caught up, and I really miss her. Working with her was amazing. I mean, one of the first artists I've ever worked with was her.
Oh, wow.
The first track we did was Hey Boy. I remember we were going to a restaurant. She was sitting in the car, and I was driving. I was playing her music. She was playing music. I played her Hey Boy. She's like, oh, I'll get on that. And I was just like, word. And then we go eat. We have a good day, but whatever. And the next day she texts me. She's like, oh, you should come over. We'll record that song. And I was just like, okay, cool. We go. She literally has a notepad, but she didn't like really use it. She doesn't hum anything. She does it all in her head. And then she went and did it in like less than 45 minutes. And I was just like, whoa. And I was just like watching her, like how she does her vocals and everything. It's the first time me watching anybody do vocals like that, you know? So I learned a lot from her. And then I think maybe a few weeks later, I had a bunch of beats I was making, and I played her the beat to Worth the Wait. We were at like somewhere in the hills. She had a setup and everything. And then I played the beat, and she was like, oh, send it to me. I was like, all right, bet. And then we just like had the rest of our night. She sends it back like weeks later, and it's just like, oh, I wrote a song that's going on my album. I was like, word. Like, cool. And I already had my vocal on it. Like, I just had the chorus vocal. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to be around you. I just had that. She wrote around it and composed it and moved things around and produced it out more. But yeah, it was just a beat that I had with like bass and some keys and stuff and drums.
And for everyone that's listening, the hills, you're talking about Hollywood Hills. I was going to say,
yeah.
Now that you live in Pasadena, I feel like that makes so much sense. You seem like a born and raised Southern California boy.
6 years.
You fit in good, right? Like, it seems like that's where you belong.
I love it there, yeah. But I'm thinking about moving back now just because, like, I'm barely there. I love traveling. I'm outside. Like,
you miss the family?
Yeah, I miss my family. Yeah. I have a lot of nieces and nephews. So, yeah, I'm just looking. I'm like...
Moving back to Hobart?
Not Hobart, no.
Your Tiny Desk was amazing.
Thank you.
That got released. I really love that you started off with the mariachi band.
Mm-hmm.
And was it an all-female
yeah.
mariachi band? I love that. And, you know, when you started off, and you gave us a grito in there. Can we hear, can we hear it real quick? I died when you pulled out the grito in there.
Represent. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's classic. I mean, my uncles, Theo's, everyone, I just hear them in the middle of the night, drunk as hell, just being like, just going crazy.
And the tamborazo dancing, right? Like, stomping around. Did you hear a lot of that growing up? Because I remember.
That's all I heard. That's all.
Like corridos and stuff. Like,
but more clásicas, like none of the new stuff. The new stuff I got exposed to later. My mom would put me on the Pedro Infantes. My dad put me on Los Bukis. Very like 60s, 50s kind of traditional corridos. And like Cien Años, that song was huge, seminal for my development as like a listener and consumer of art music.
Did you like it? Because I remember my grandma dropping me off playing like, she played a lot of bachata. Which now I play. But like back then I was like, okay, bye. Like hiding my face. Like, can we turn this down? Did you really embrace it? Or I know later, like it was something I embraced as I got older.
I embraced it, yeah. And I also definitely, my mom worked at a barbershop and the owner was Puerto Rican and she played reggaeton, bachata, everything. I'd be there all day. I'm like, what's this? She's like, apaganos son groserías. And I was like, nah, this is fire. Like, you know, and I loved it. I thought it was cool. And I learned the lyrics when I was like 8. like some really crazy songs.
I was gonna say the lyrics are crazy. Like yeah. You think English music is wild? Like no, especially like the old school Spanish. You're like, what were you saying? Yeah. Like it's crazy. Okay, so one last question. This one's for the fans, because you are a heartthrob. You know that, right? You're like a heartthrob. If you look in your comments, everyone's thirsty. They need some water. They're parched. So for the fans,
I'm flattered. I don't see it, but thank you.
What's something in another person that makes you really attracted to them? Like, what's something you look for when you're looking at someone you're looking to vibe with?
I think it has a lot to do with their spirit. If they're like amplifying or taking down, or if they, you know, like they walk in a room and they light it up, and but also kind of like, you know, the little quiet guy in the corner. I don't know. Something about that too. I don't know. Honestly, it's tough. I really don't know. I guess my friends kind of know. They'd be like, oh yeah, you'd like him. Like, oh yeah, you'd like him. Like, you know what I mean? Just, I would personally don't know. And one of my friends is just like, I don't get your like attraction.
your radar yeah, is all over
like,
the place.
Like, I don't get it. Like, it's everywhere. And then like my oldest brother, he really knows. Like, he can really be like, point and be like, oh yeah, that's your vibe. But like, it's just funny because like some people that are with me every single day are still like, I don't know, bro. Like, I don't know what you're on. But I think, you know, it has a lot to do with, yeah, just like somebody's energy and their spirit and their charisma and like, and where it's placed. It's like very interesting to me. I don't know. I'm single right now. I don't need no man. I'm chilling. I'm like, I gotta do my little tour. I'm gonna put out my little movie.
You're busy.
I'm not worried about that. Like,
you're,
you know
you're
what I'm
booked
saying?
And busy, yes.
Like, I'm working.
Are you in your catching flights, not feelings era? Like, that's the
era
that's we're
what
in.
I'm always in that. That 2023 was my time to be sad. I'm cool now.
Yes, you need that happy period after. You're like, I just need to be alone and happy.
That's how I feel.
Okay, I love that. I love that for you. Thank you so much, Omar Apollo, for stopping by. You're going to be playing tomorrow at the Huntington Bank Pavilion in Northerly Island. What could people expect? They're going to Omar Apollo's show.
Yeah.
What's the energy going to be?
Oh, it's completely different than any other show I've ever done. There's tons of, like, dancing and theatrical moments and big moments and, you know, very silhouetted and very emotional, but at the same time there's a lot of dance, a lot of energy, a lot of I'm working with this guy who I've been watching since I was like 14. His name is Keone Madrid. He's an extremely talented choreographer, but that's like very small part of what he can do, even though he's so, you know, he has a legacy of dance behind him, but I see him more as like a creative person all around now. And he did the whole tour. He had creative directed everything, and it's been like a really crazy journey, and I love him. I'm gonna keep working with him. He's great.
You said before we got on mic, this is going to be the best show of the tour.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. You think I'm lying? Like, like it's going to be the best. Like, the girls are going to, they're gagging. They have their masks on.
Gacked and gooped, okay?
Yeah.
I love it. Thank you so much, Omar, for stopping by. Because I know it could be really hard to make time for press on a crazy tour run like this. And we're going to play my favorite song off your album. We're going to get into Spite a little bit. So could you introduce it for us? And you could be the DJ for a second and I'll play the song.
What's up? This is Omar Apollo. I'm going to play you my song, Spite. It's the best song of the summer. I'm not even joking. Play it like 10 times. I love you. Thank you.
This segment was hosted and produced by Nudia Hernandez. It was edited by Morgan Zioka with production support from Abigail Harrison. Keep up with us at vocalo.org or at Vocalo on Instagram. It's been the same since I left my hometown. I've been thinking about moving by you.